Lord our God, you are El Shaddai, God Almighty, and we are privileged to be your children. Open our hearts and our minds to the message that you have today for us, O Lord, and may the words that are spoken and the words that are heard be your words. And may all God's children say, Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Welcome to Bible Study Discussion. This is Lecture 1. And the topic is the one and only. My name is Mary Lee Going, and I welcome all of you who are here in the chapel today and all of you who are listening to us online. I would like to mention we have something new this year that you might want to take advantage of. If you have downloaded the MDPC app onto your phones, iPhones, or if you have a tablet or a laptop with you, the lecture slideshow is already on it, so you can have it right in front of you if you wish. This is something new that we're doing this year. Let us say our memory verses together. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 1:17. And Exodus 20:3, you shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20:3. For your information, the John 1:17 is the Bible verse that encompasses the entire year. And that's why we're saying it now, and we'll say it again, have it as one of our verses again in December when we start the Gospel of Luke. Okay, for you who are listening to us online, we now have a picture on the screen in front of us of a mother holding an infant baby. And I wanted to tell you about Kendra. This is Kendra, and she's holding this dear, sweet little child. She had her first child when she was about 20, and you can see from the way she looks that she looked at that child, and she just wept for joy out of the love that she had for this tiny little infant. And so she just wanted to do everything in her power to protect this baby. She got the safest car seats, the best crib. She got the safest toys for her child because she wanted the child to be safe. But she also wanted this child to live the best life possible. Well, you know, infants do grow into toddlers. And when the baby became a toddler, then the little girl would go off and do from mom, wander away and do some fun things, but they also could have been harmful to her. So mom said, "Ugh, I have got to set up some rules for this child so she won't get hurt and so she would live the best life possible." Now, go and think about the Israelites that had just left Egypt and they were wandering in the wilderness, and God said, "They're wandering. I have got to set up some rules for them to be safe and for them to have the best life possible." So that's why we're talking about the Ten Commandments. Now, today, there we go. We're going to divide the lecture up into three different parts. The first part is going to be called building blocks. The second part, our focus, is going to be on three questions: the who, why, and what. And then the third part is going to be on heart smart. So let's start with our building blocks. For you online, there is a picture on the screen of cement going into the to build a foundation for some structure. When it hardens and solidifies, you can put the building blocks on it to build a structure. Well, God knew that we needed a strong foundation. And his motivation for this was out of his great love and his amazing grace. God provides for God's creation. The intent was that our Lord wants us to live lives worthy of our calling, lives that are set apart. And we'll continue with that. Now, what is our response as the creation? We are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this we get from Luke 10, 27, and we'll talk about this again next spring. So what we have here on the screen is a big fat Oreo cookie. And we want for you to understand where the Israelites were at this time. The Israelites were sandwiched between Egypt, their past, and Canaan, the promised land, their future. And both Egypt and Canaan were polytheistic lands. They were lands, people who worshiped many gods. So let's look at this Oreo. The white cream filling, oh, the good stuff, that's the Israelites. And they are sandwiched between the chocolate cookie, bottom and top, Egypt and Canaan. Now, that chocolate cookie is really delicious. It is really alluring. You don't want to just eat the cream filling and throw the other away. It's very tempting, especially if you're on a diet. So God wanted his people to be set apart. Okay, so when you eat an Oreo, I know you all do it. You take it and you open up the cookie and to see the inside, okay? Well, have you ever had a situation where the creamy filling sticks to one side or the other? Well, God didn't want that to happen. He wanted the filling to stay, the Israelites to stay separated, lives that are set apart from the culture of the day. Okay, let's think about how the worship of gods started. So I want you to rewind many, many centuries prior to the Israelites. And we're into primitive man and women. And they hear thunder. We heard thunder today. They see rain. They see sunshine. They see their crops grow. They see children coming. And they can't explain it. And for the most part, they can't control it. They can't control thunder. It comes. So the primitive man put two and two together to get five and decided that somebody must be controlling this because I can't. So they decided it may be a god. So then they had a thunder god and a rain god and a sunshine god, and a crop-growing god, and a wine god. I mean, it just multiplied. So you can see how all of these gods multiplied. And then suddenly they had all of these gods that were incredibly self-centered. They weren't after or out for the benefit of the people who were there. They were out for themselves, and they argued among each other. I'm more important. Thunder god is more important than the sunshine god. And so what we have here is something that God is saying that, well, first of all, also, if you wanted to appease one of these gods, then you would go and give them a sacrifice, like bread or grain. Or if it was really important, you'd give them a kid. And so one of your children. And so, you know, and they may or they may not appease or give you what you're looking for. This is where the polytheistic gods came into being. And our Lord is saying, whoa, let's step back. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Now let's go into the who, why, and what. Our Bible verse for this week is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. This can be broken up into three segments. The A, the B, and the C, or the first, middle, and last. So right now we're going to talk about the who, which is, I am the Lord your God. Isn't it interesting how God starts this off? He is saying, let me tell you who you're listening to. Let me tell you who is telling you these next 10 things. Let me identify myself. I am the author. This is not something Moses made up. This is not something somebody else made up. I am the Lord your God. Okay, let's look at the word Lord. It is the one who is speaking has the authority and the power and the control over another one. He is saying, your. He is claiming us. God is claiming us and showing us that He wants us and He wants a relationship with us, and because we are His people. And then he concludes that, the Lord your God, the author of this, God is saying He is the supreme being. He is the creator and the sovereign ruler. I am the Lord your God. He starts off with who. Now let's find out why. So our second or our middle part is who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Why does he mention this? Because it is something tangible. The people then could understand. They understood that they were in slavery, and they understood it was that it was God who rescued them. It was something that was rooted in their experience. It was not something theoretical. It was not something that they couldn't understand. It was something that they experienced. So he mentions, God mentions the land of Egypt, and he brought them out of the house of slavery. Well, he also indicates with this that he is a provider, someone who acts on the behalf of the creation, not like those polytheistic gods who are very selfish. God acts on our behalf. He is the giver of gifts. Now, he also indicates that he listens to his people, because it was his people in Egypt that cried out, Lord, save us. And he did. So he is a listener. He will listen to us when we talk and wishes we would talk more to him. But this is something very interesting too, that in this statement, he indicates that he is a God who turns societal norms upside down. Think about it. Back then, slavery wasn't taboo. It was a fact of life. You had slaves or you were a slave. This was the way things ran. There was no other option. You were born into one or the other. And so what God is saying is it's a glimmer or a glimpse into something that's going to happen in the future. Because in the future, Jesus is going to be given to us. Jesus, who came not as a baby, not as a knight in shining armor riding a horse. He came to a peasant woman, not a queen. He was put in a manger, not a crib. He was worshiped by kings, by magi, and not vice versa. So God is beginning to give the people a glimpse of how His kingdom is not like the earthly kingdom. Also, now we go into the what. I have brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. This statement is the starting point for all of the other commandments. Without this first statement, the other commandments wouldn't mean anything. So we have to have this foundational building block to start with. Now in this, God demands, one, absolute exclusivity, the one and only. He wants our undivided loyalty, our complete commitment, our total trust, and discipleship. This is the first place in the Bible where discipleship is addressed. Also, what does you shall have no other gods before me imply? Well, it implies that there are no gods in front of our Lord, your God, that there are no other gods side by side the Lord, that there are no other gods replacing the Lord our God, that there are no other gods above or below the Lord. In other words, there is no acquisition of or devotion to other gods. It is very, very clear. I read Stuart Briscoe, who is a theologian, and this is something that he wrote, and I really liked it. It made sense to me. He says, ours is the God of Revelation, who commands, don't insult me by bringing all these other gods alongside me, and don't dare insult me by putting them ahead of me. That made a lot of sense to me. So now that we understand the who, what, and why, we need to go into heart smart. This, of course, is a something that is very, heart smart is something, a word that's a phrase that's being used quite a bit because we want to be healthy. We want to make sure our heart is healthy so we eat the right things, we do our exercises. So what is it that we need to do? What's the reason for us to be healthy? So in all of my reading, I came up with a theologian saying A, B, and C, and another one saying D, E, and F, and another one saying A, X, and Y. So I put them all together into 8 steps to a heart-healthy spiritual life. And so our first application is, 1, we need to acknowledge that other gods exist. If you don't acknowledge something, then you cannot deal with it. So you need to acknowledge that other gods exist. And Paul Tillich tells us that whatever one's ultimate concern is, in reality, one's God. So think about it. What is your ultimate concern? Then we need to, our second step is we need to recognize that gods are alluring and tempting. Think about that Oreo cookie. How really tasty that dark chocolate cookie is. Oh my goodness, it is really good. And that it's really tempting to eat that cookie. It is really tempting for us to have other gods and to put them in front and back in lieu of our God. So we need to recognize that this does exist. We also need to be obedient to Scripture. Scripture is not just a guideline or suggestion. We need to be obedient to Scripture. And one of the best examples is, of course, Jesus. If you think back, and you'll find it in Luke 4, 1 through 13, Jesus and Satan are out in the wilderness, and Satan is saying, do this. You can do it. You have the power to do it. Do that. Turn bread and stone into bread and climb on the pinnacle of the mountain. And so anyway, what is it that Jesus says? Jesus says, quotes Scripture. He quotes Scripture, and Satan can do nothing about it. Christ quotes Scripture. So we need to be obedient to Scripture, but you got to know what Scripture is to begin with. So you need to stay in Bible study. You need to continue memorizing your verses. And then be obedient to what Scripture is, just as Christ was obedient. Step 4. We need to believe that Jesus is the one who paid the price for our sins. It is Jesus and Jesus only. And so in doing so, we are set apart. And we are, because he paid the price for us, then we may ask for forgiveness and be assured that it'll be granted. We also need to trust in forgiveness that Jesus offers repentant sinners. We need to trust that we will be forgiven. Because when we are forgiven of our sins, then we can continue and develop that relationship with God. Number 6, we need to practice humility and focus on gratitude. It's not about me. It's about God. It's about others. Me, I need to put me last. Do you know the acronym JOY, J-O-Y? You put Jesus first, you put others second, and you put yourself last. So one of the things that we need to do, that is humility. And then we need to focus on gratitude. Gratitude not only for what God has given us and done for us, but gratitude to what others are doing. And in showing gratitude, then we are showing humility. It's not about me. It's about someone else. In the 7th step, we need to live changed lives. If we do believe in Jesus and follow the Bible and Scripture and be obedient, then we cannot be the same person that we were. We need to be transformed and we need to live a transformed life, knowing that we're going to stumble, but that's okay because we have forgiveness and we can make a 180-degree turn and go back to living a changed life. And last but far from least, we need to nurture a God-honoring heart, where we love God and we love our neighbor. So this, if you are interested in a book about following other gods, one of the best books in the Bible is the book of Hosea. I've got a quote here from Hosea that I want to read in just a minute. But it's Hosea is about a marriage between Hosea and his wife Gomer. And Hosea was a loving husband who really was a good person and loved Gomer. But Gomer was a wanderer, and she just was unfaithful to him. And this is an allegory between God loving his people and the people, his creation, his chosen, wandering away and wandering back and wandering away. And I like this. This is Hosea 13, 4 through 6. Yet I have been the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you know no God but me. And besides me, there is no Savior. It was I who fed you in the wilderness, in the land of drought. And when I fed them, they were satisfied. They were satisfied, and their hearts was proud, therefore they forgot me. So we need to ask the question, are you heart healthy? Our applying the lesson to your life this week comes in sort of a two-part. It is what gods, lowercase gods, may be creeping into your heart. Okay, I want you to think about cockroaches and how in the dark they come out, but when the light shines on them, they run back into the corners where the dark is. So when the light of Christ shines on us, we need to get rid of those gods. So what God is creeping like cockroaches into your heart? And then what are you going to do about it? Now, as you write that, I've got a story to end us with. Angelo and Archie are two people, and the two men got up one Saturday morning, and they had a list of things to do. They had three things to do. One of them is they had to go to each of their sons' ball game, and they had to wash a car, and they had to write a check to the church. Now, each of them, strangely enough, had the same list. So what did each of them do? Well, Angelo went to the ball game of his son because he loved his son so much. And Archie decided to go to his son's ball game so that he could sit and talk to the parents and try to get them to vote for him because he was running for mayor, which was a very powerful position. So then Angelo went and washed his wife's car because she didn't have time to do it this week and it needed to be done. Now Archie, on the other hand, Archie had a really smooth ride and he wanted everybody to see him washing that cool car out in either his driveway or the car wash. Okay, then Angelo went home and he wrote a check to the church out of his gratitude for God and his desire to help others in Jesus' name. Now Archie, on the other hand, he did have a little extra money, so he thought he could write a check. And he wrote the check, and because he wanted everybody in the pew to see him putting his check in the offering plate on Sunday. So you can see how Archie and Angelo were different. And so could God, because God was looking at their hearts, not their actions so much, but their hearts. What was in their hearts? God can read your thoughts. He can feel your heart. Archie was the one who was consumed by himself, by other gods. He loved other gods. But Angelo, on the other hand, loved the Lord, his God, and loved his neighbors, his family, his neighbors. Archie was interested in possessions and power and pride, but Angelo was interested in Jesus. And so this Angelo was the one that was interested in following the first of the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord your God and with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, and you shall have no other gods before me. So I leave you with this. Is your life, heart, healthy? Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, my God, you alone should be first in our hearts because you are our Lord who freed us from the slavery to sin. We are so thankful for your abiding love, but sometimes our priorities get misplaced and we allow other things to come before you or in lieu of you or replacing you. Help us to wash out our hearts with the other gods so that there's only room for you. We want to live heart-healthy lives. In our Lord's name we pray, amen.